The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Revelation, the 5th chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals." And between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and with 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. They shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands upon thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, under the earth and in the sea, and all that is in them, saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." The 4 living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. For our gospel reading, we have 2 selections. The first from Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 26. "And they led him away, and they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of the women, were mourning and lamenting for him." Continuing at John chapter 19. "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is found in your gospel lesson for today from Luke chapter 23, verse 27. "And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him." This is our text. Empathy. It is that natural quality, not only possessed by humans, but by many animals as well, to not only observe what is going on with someone else's life, but to actually feel within yourself feelings that other people are feeling. It's a natural human quality. It's what makes you want to yawn when you're sitting in a group of people and all of a sudden somebody lets out a big yawn and, man, all of a sudden you have to yawn too. Or you walk into a room and there's a bunch of people laughing and joking. And you start smiling and you don't even know what the joke is yet. Or when you're with someone who is crying or weeping, especially a close family member, you may not yet know what has caused their grief, but yet just by seeing what they are going through, begin to choke up. Perhaps a tear begins to wet your eyes as well. As I said, it is a natural part of our nature. It's even found in pets. I've only been around the dogs of other people, but you know, sometimes animals, you might have a dog that senses when you're not very happy. Maybe comes up to you and starts to whimper with you, or at least realizes that you need something to hold. Empathy is a trait that's been studied by scientists. They've even identified the part of our brain where it seems to come from. We call them mirror neurons, if you want the scientific term. One of the things they've discovered about empathy is not only is it natural to us, but you can learn how to turn it off. And sadly, what they are discovering in our modern world is that empathy is a quality that is diminishing in our culture. And there are certain human beings which seem to have the ability to completely neutralize it. Often you read about these people in the news. They're usually the kind of people that have committed atrocities that you find horrifying. And you wonder how human beings can do such things to other human beings. Because they've turned off the ability to feel what others are feeling. So even when hurting others, even when seeing others suffering, they feel no pain, they feel no grief. If they feel anything, it's a sense of power. Maybe you've met people in your life that have had little to no empathy. Maybe it's a person at work or a fellow student in school who seems to have the ability to hurt others without shame or guilt without any feelings of sadness for the grief and the pain and the suffering they brought upon others. It's quite natural to despise such people. But in a very real sense, we have frequently been such people ourselves. I want you to imagine something for a moment. Magically take yourself back in time. To the time period of the New Testament. Put yourself underneath the cross of Jesus. And remember why he is there. He committed no sin. And though an unbeliever might simply say that he was a victim of injustice by the governing powers of that period, we as Christians know the real truth. Jesus was not an innocent victim. In his own person, yes, he was innocent. But he was the chosen instrument of God to vent his wrath against sin. Yes, our Lord is a merciful God, but he is also a just God. The bottom line on this sin is that it must be paid for. In his mercy, he chose to not make us pay for it, but he did choose his Son, willingly accepted that choice. And on that cross, he suffered unimaginable agony and pain. Not because of his sins, but because of ours. As I frequently remind you, it is not just the physical pain that our Lord and Savior Jesus suffered. For your sins and mine. In that mysterious moment where God turns his back on God, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The full pangs of hell being inflicted upon Jesus. Stand there at the foot of the cross, watching him undergoing this. Then imagine, if you will, for a moment, that he sees you at the foot of the cross. You know that sin, or maybe it's sins, probably. The ones you really struggle with, the ones that, you know, you don't worry about that much. And you find yourself repeating them over and over again. People around you have kind of gotten used to it. They just excuse it. And you don't think it really causes that much harm. And Jesus looks at you. calls out that sin. And he says to you, see what I had to suffer for that? What do you feel? If you feel nothing, there's something wrong. If you don't weep and grieve with Jesus over your sin, as small as you think it is, as accepting of it as others are, even if the world itself says, don't worry about it. See the grief and pain that Jesus is enduring for it. And imagine yourself saying to Jesus, well, it really doesn't matter. Only a person totally devoid of empathy could do that. And we have to confess to our Lord and Savior that sometimes that's the person we are. The things that we would despise in others, we ourselves do. O Lord, have mercy upon us. But of course, that's precisely what God was doing in the person of Jesus. And he bids us to turn to him. When we realize the fullness of the horror of our own sin, confess it to him, he will forgive. Because though he is a just God, and though sin must be paid for, he is also a merciful and loving God who wants you to call him not just Lord and God, but our Father who art in heaven. Who wants you to live with him forever, purified from all sin, from all of its consequences, including death itself. We need to learn to weep over our sins, that we can also rejoice in the fullness of the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus made for us on the cross, fully rejoicing in his victory when he rose from the dead so that he might offer to us a life completely free from sin forever with him. God grant that we do learn to weep over all of our sins, that one day we can also rejoice fully with him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.